Hello? Hello, Theo?
Hey, is this Alex?
Yeah, what's up, man? Oh,
Oh
I'm
my God.
sorry. I'm sorry. Hold on. Poppy's being a little annoying. Hey, not Canny. Don't hurt Canny. Oh, Canny's not real. Canny's not real. Hi, Theo. Hi, what's up, man? I'm just,
What is going on?
Poppy has been watching some Kung Fu Chan movies recently, and he's just been doing a lot of karate. He's beginning to really hurt. We've had to put a lot of butter on him, so even when he's not hurting people, he's just slipping around, hurting himself.
I can still come on invincible!
Oh, gosh. Oh, that.
Get him!
Wow.
Get the guy!
I gotta get your friend?
Yeah!
It's. Okay. Hold on a second, Theo. I gotta find Poppy's friend here. He's got a Lego friend. We got him. Oh,
His name
okay.
is Master Wu!
His name's Master Wu. He's from the Lego Ninjago movie
He's
set.
my best friend. I hit him around. Yeah!
He also is not real. He's an inanimate object, and he just basically hits him around anywhere, because if it was real, it would probably object to that, I would think. But hey, how you doing, Theo?
Oh, well, I'm gonna be honest, I'm not doing that great. I'm kind of laid up right now.
Oh, what's going on?
Okay, so I knew we were doing the Jackie Chan episode, right?
Absolutely.
And so I watched a bunch of the movies. I was getting ready for it, and then I was watching them and I thought, what's the big deal?
What did you
This
just
doesn't
say?
seem that hard, like people make
Oh,
such a big deal.
hey, I mean,
People make such a big deal about all of his stunts, and I just thought I could do that.
Theo, you understand that he has been doing this for a long time. He throws his body. He's almost died several times.
Like this.
Poppy,
You know
oh
what?
God, get the butter out. Oh God, go get the butter. Go dive in the butter. Oh, thank you. Okay, all right. Theo, I've been trying to do the same argument with
No,
Poppy
but
here.
you see, the thing is, Alex, I've studied many, many forms of martial arts myself.
Have you?
So I what I did was I decided I would make a list of like his craziest stunts, and then I would
Oh boy.
replicate them.
Like, okay,
Okay,
so wait,
so
wait.
for
What have you done?
no, because this is all I was going to make a series for YouTube, right? So like just one by one, I was going to knock him out. So for instance, from Police Story 1985, he does this big slide down a pole
Oh,
that he ended up getting like third degree burns on his hands, smashing through glass and getting glass in his face.
You know he did that. You know that he had those things happen to him. Why would you want to replicate that?
Well, I was going to show that I could do it with, I mean, because he's obviously kind of a clumsy guy.
No, he
I'm
is
pretty with
not.
it.
He's actually pretty graceful. Have you like that's the whole point. He's agile. He's acrobatic. He's talented. That's like I'm not saying you aren't. You play a wonderful flute. But I would say in this case you don't really match.
Well, okay, no, but like, I saw him jump over an alleyway and rumble in the Bronx,
Yeah,
like
great
over
movie.
into a balcony. It seemed like a pretty big balcony. Like, it's not an
Really
impossible
big.
thing to do.
I mean, it's not impossible because he did it, but also he worked really hard and trained really hard for that particular stunt. You know, he doesn't do all those stunts in like one day. He takes a long time to train for each stunt, and then they film it. It's like he's a perfectionist. He takes forever just to get him to catch a pencil that he flicks off a table. He does the same thing with his stunts. He just throws money at him. That's why these movies are so famous. He takes the effort and time to perfect things, and like to just assume that anybody can do it is what gets people
Oh,
killed.
no. But I mean, I can do that stuff. I caught a pencil one time, just first try.
Did you?
Like I flipped it up, caught it.
You know
So,
what? I think
what's
you
the big deal?
can.
So I made myself this list. I was gonna just knock them out one by one, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So then this morning, I was doing some stretches, and I put my foot up on
Okay.
like a on a wall in the back garden here at Shoshana's house, and I was stretching, and I pulled like a muscle in my leg. So.
Wait a second. So you were just stretching and you pulled a muscle. You didn't even pull a muscle from do exercising and not stretching. You pulled a muscle attempting to do the thing that keeps you from pulling a muscle.
Well, you could see it that way,
That's
I
exactly what
guess.
happened.
Well, I feel like I'm more flexible now.
I mean, we all feel like we're better than what our bodies say, but that's the point. Our bodies, we have to listen to them. And obviously, when that happened, that means you're not ready for any of this, I wouldn't think. I mean, maybe you should take your time practicing a little bit more.
Well, that's how you get flexible, You gotta like rip your tendons a little bit and then they
No.
heal up.
No, that is not how that works. You do not push your muscles to the point that they tear and then let them heal, so that's how you get stronger? Poppy.
That's what I've been doing.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what Poppy's been doing. We have to keep putting butter on Poppy.
Look at me.
Okay, Poppy, you need to let the butter sink in. You need to take time. Watch another Jackie Chan movie or something.
I'm gonna puke.
Okay, that's just. Oh, Poppy. Oh, that's so adorable. That's so cute. Oh, Poppy.
Little
Oh.
pile of salt.
It's really adorable. It's like, oh, it's just kind of pouring out like a sand dial. Like,
Yeah, you try and do it. You do it, Colonel.
Okay, I'm gonna peek out some salt here real quick.
You do a cool move. See how cool you look.
Oh, a cool move.
Do a flip or something.
All right, fine. Give me some time here. You know, when I was in high school, I used to do some flips all the time. Whenever I would get a bad grade in class, I would just do a flip, and the teacher would be like, "Hey." So you know what? I'm gonna do it too, and then I would say back. I'd be like, "Fozzie, hey." You know, so I'm gonna show you
You're
a
styling.
Grade. Okay, I'm not styling. I'm just giving you the title of the flip.
Come on.
It's called a grade A flip. Come on, Poppy. Hands up for that one.
No.
Okay, all right, fine.
Do it.
You're covered in butter anyway. Okay, all right, hold on a second. I'm just going to stretch my leg here. All right, here we go.
Be careful with that.
Here we go. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I think you could call that a flip. I mean, I did eventually land. If you give me about an hour or so, I could get on my feet. But I would say, you know, that was not a flip. I'm going to lay here for a while.
Not as cool as mine now.
It did look stupid. Oh, Poppy.
Oh, Poppy.
Ow. Get some butter. Okay. I'm going to put some butter on you instead of me first.
What do you got? Why is there a chair on the floor? Are you okay? Alex, get up, man.
I can't. Ow. Oh, God.
Get in the chair,
oh,
man.
Ow.
What's going on? You guys doing flips?
Man.
Or something?
Yeah, I think, you know, Alex heard about pretty awesome stuff that I've been doing, and I think he wanted to jump on the bandwagon, but he's not as trained as I am.
As always, I've suffered at my desire to be like Theo, and I just have hurt myself.
Your shoulder blade's
sticking
out.
Don't touch it!
Oh my, I think he
just, okay, just, could you please, like, rub my temples?
I'm not.
Just rub my temples.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, that's better. That's better. Okay, I feel good. Let me just straight up. No!
Oh, dude.
Oh.
Do you want to see my flip, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to see mine?
Let's see it. Go for it.
So I get up like this.
Yeah.
And I put my leg
behind
my hip.
That seems like practical. That.
And then
nope.
Tuck down a little bit like this. And you.
I don't think you can do it.
Do a backflip like this.
I'm worried.
Okay, three.
Do it!
One.
Oh, Peter! Oh, man, that was where I put all of my favorite things, too. Jeez.
Oh, my
don't,
leg.
Peter, don't get up.
Oh.
Don't get up so fast.
Oh.
Ow. Okay. Ow, that was my leg. Ow. Oh. Oh, Theo. Oh, all right. Okay, now, even though you can hear this, just let me tell you, we were both very successful at what we did.
Oh, I made
both
this
successful.
Lift. I landed it.
Yeah.
We landed it.
On my leg.
Peter, could you just get the butter from Poppy over there?
Oh.
Get the butter from Poppy.
Poppy, come here.
Poppy,
no,
get the butter.
No,
buddy, you can't have all the butter.
I need it.
Oh, God.
I need it.
Peter, just can't just...
I can't get out, man.
Poppy, how about you did another stunt?
Okay,
come on, do another stunt. Yep. Oh.
Get Master Wu over there.
Get Master Wu over there.
Okay,
I'm going to have to turn my leg around. It's really bent in an odd way here.
I call this one the suplex. Ready, you ready?
Go for it.
Right off the pop can, okay?
Oh, not candy.
Three, two, one.
Ow! Okay, go for the butter.
Okay,
go for the butter, okay?
I gotta crawl.
Poppy, don't get up.
Oh, my other leg.
Okay, let me just crawl over that. I'm gonna crawl over that leg real quick. I'm gonna get to the butter. Okay.
Theo.
Okay, my leg is
caught
on your leg.
Theo, call for help.
Theo, could you call for help real quick?
Theo.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, please.
Oh, wait. What's that?
Are you sleeping, man? How do you fall asleep on the phone? Were you 80?
Oh.
Theo.
Peter.
Oh, Peter. Man. Oh, I'm blacking out, dude.
Okay, if you're gonna black out.
Oh, is that blood?
Is that blood? That's blood? What has been coming out of my body?
Oh, my God, there's blood! Yay!
So adorable.
Oh, my God, it's so warm!
So adorable.
Yay.
Real fire.
I see dead people.
I thought you weren't insane anymore.
Yeah, I'm actually a thing. I'm a being.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
Maybe it'll all just go away. Like a bad dream.
I doubt it.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Still coming to you from the entirely empty employee break room of the quiet and quarantined Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor, locked-down American city. This is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Peter Theater.
I'm Theodore Theater, coming to you from a back room in Shoshana's house here in Los Angeles, California. Feeling a bit woozy, to be honest. Shoshana gave me something for the pain, and,
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we doing the...
Yeah.
Are we doing the show?
Yeah.
And I'm Alex the Projectionist, and I'm just happy to be here. And I'm feeling pretty good, guys.
Feeling pretty good.
And I'm Poppy.
Hey, Poppy.
Hey, you guys feeling any butter?
I'm feeling butter.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty butter, too.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little better.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling.
I mean, my leg still kind of hurts, but I'm feeling butter about
you should,
it.
You should put some. Feel butter on that.
Drunk?
I am not that undrunk. In fact, I'm drunk. Yes.
That's fine. You seem good.
Well, it's because I was watching. Just
preparation for this review?
Yes, it was. It was the Drunken Master. I was a big proponent of watching when we watched Jackie Chan movies. Watching the movie that made him a star. The movie that. The one that everyone was undeniably going to say that guy was a legend. And to do that, I found out he did another movie before that same year called Snake in the Eagle's Shadow. It was made by the same director, same writer, and the same cast is in it, and it was made the same year. And I gotta say, it's pretty darn good. It's really funny, and it's really entertaining, and the zooms and the action and the way the camera works is so good. I was immediately taken by it. But then I watched Drunken Master, and Jackie Chan is an absolute jerk in that movie. He's not nice. He's very not cool. And in fact, the Chinese audience didn't like it, and it continued to, it became the catalyst for Jackie Chan never playing a villain ever in his career. He's never played a villain. He just never wants the Chinese people to ever see him as a bad person. And he's kind of a bad person, Drunken Master. Drunken Master has a really good arc, but the thing about it is, at the very end of the movie, he does the drunken fighting style, and at that moment, it is obvious. It is evident that Jackie Chan is going to be a legend. Like, they knew, like, Snake in the Eagle's Shadow was a hit. People loved it. They mixed comedy with them, and they thought, oh, genius. They tried the Bruce Lee thing, and those movies didn't work. But Snake in the Eagle's Shadow was a huge hit. They made the other one right away, and it had a more fluid story. And he just, at the end, was so good. People were like, amazing. The very next year, he started directing his own movies, and off he went. Police Story and all that stuff. And he started a whole new idea of how he was going to direct things by the early 90s, which I think is peak Jackie Chan. Peak Jackie Chan is the early 90s.
Yellow spit on your...
Thank you. I'm going to put that back in my mouth.
Oh.
I'm going to drink that real quick, Adam.
Well, I think Poppy...
Okay, now, the Snake in the Eagle's Shadow, that is the famous death, the most dramatic death scene of all time. Am I right?
It's really powerful. He gets this guy who acts like a priest child at the movie, and he's pretending, right? Because he's bad. He's a bad guy. He's not a real priest.
Yeah,
he's a bad
guy.
And then later at the end of the movie, Jackie Chan's like, you're not a priest. And he's like, nah, man. I'm part of the Eagle Clan, and I'm here to kill you. And Jackie Chan and him fight, and they fight, and he gets a sword, and a sword actually cuts Jackie Chan. In the fight, you can see the real sword cut his arm. So they were like, this is real fake. For real fake, guys. So then Jackie Chan's character, he's got him on the ropes, and he punches him, and he's standing there, and then he gets on, and he just knees, and he just takes his two hands together in a prayer position, just stabs him right in the crotch.
With his bare hands?
With his bare hands.
Oh, my.
Stabs him right in the crotch, and the guy goes, and he falls on the ground, and he's dead. And you're like, wow. A plus, because it's amazing, right? And, you know, in this period of Jackie Chan's career really defined a lot of what Hong Kong action films would be later. Jackie Chan's sense of comedy and inspiration of silent films like Buster Keaton. My favorite moment in Snake in the Eagle's Shadow, the teacher of Jackie Chan is running away from the bad guy, and he climbs this brick wall with his fingers. He's just like, get, he gets up on the wall, and the bad guy's like, there it goes, and he like gets up, and he's like, get, on the wall. And Jackie Chan's like the student, so he's still learning, so he goes to the wall, and he like tries to run up it, but he barely scrapes like anybody else when he's just like, he can't get up, and then he backs away, and he gives himself some room, and he looks, and he gets out of frame, and then he comes back in with a ladder, and I was like, that's an awesome joke. And I was like, okay, so like, it's one thing to know that Jackie Chan is a good fighter. It's another thing to know that he can be funny as a person. It's another thing to take his creativity, ingenuity of fighting and apply a sense of humor to it. That's what they discovered in Drunken Master. Went on to make all these other ones.
Because like before this, they wanted him to be the next Bruce Lee, and he wasn't having it.
Yeah, I know. They put him in like New Fist of Fury and stuff, and the movie didn't do well at all. It didn't do well at all. It didn't do well at all.
No.
So that's why this new producer, who I'm not saying any names, guys, because I suck at the names. I gotta be honest, I am culturally insensitive. Insensitive? No, the name is like Ku Chung Wu, like Pan, Ping. No, that was the writer. Somebody, like, there's like three people who got together to make these two movies possible. That's the problem. Then you go into the career of Jackie Chan, and he is all over the Hong Kong movie business. All the names that you try to remember just by watching 11 films It's insane, which is why I chose not to. But this whole period is really interesting in terms of, like, how he was deciding how he wanted to make movies and add action comedy. Let's just transplant years later to the 90s. He's at his peak. It's 1994. He's already made Super Cop, which arguably might be my favorite Jackie Chan movies of the ones that I watched this week. Super Cop is nuts. But this is different. He wanted to come back to Kung Fu.
Alex, sidebar.
Yes.
Sidebar real quick, dude. Super Cop?
Yes.
Super Cop. Quentin Tarantino has said that it's, quote, probably the greatest stunts ever filmed in any movie ever.
The last 15 unquote. Minutes of Super Cop are nuts.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, right now we're just talking about the
So he's basically run the gamut of all these modern-day actions. He's done Operation Condor, Project A, all of these movies, but he wanted to go back to his Kung Fu roots. He wanted to go back to what he knew best. So he decided that he was going to make The Legend of Drunken Master a sequel/reboot to Drunken Master, where the character is a lot more lovable, but also Jackie Chan's playing a guy who's obviously half his age. Like, he's running around saying dad when he's like 40. Like, dad, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. But at the same time, he's a much more interesting character. He's already learned the technique of the Drunken Master to things, and the Kung Fu's back. But here's this interesting. By the time that Super Cop had come around, Jackie Chan had formed together with a director named Stephen Tong, I think. I know Tong's the last name. I think Tong's the last name for sure. I don't know. But started working with different directors to start trusting. And so he picked this director for Legend of Drunken Master, but they conflicted a lot. Like, this director wanted slow-mos. He wanted wire work. He wanted the camera to move in the action scenes. All things that Jackie Chan is opposed to in his filmmaking. And he'd already made a bunch of films by that point. So he got him about 3/4 of the film until the very last 20 minutes, which Jackie Chan directed. And it's considered an uncredited directed. And it's also the best 20 minutes of the movie. The stark difference in slow-mo scenes in the earlier stuff and that last 20 minutes, which are just jaw-dropping. And I honestly think that Legend of Drunken Master was the favorite that I watched of all these films.
Yeah.
The fighting, there's a fight underneath the train that's just, I'd have to frame by frame it to understand how they pulled it off. The last 20 minutes is insane. It's insane Kung Fu style. But you could also say the same thing about Super Cop doesn't make it by this much, whereas Dragon Master is on top. Like, it's such a close first and second. Such a close first and second. And I gotta say, when you see him go from, I'm gonna trust this writer and this producer and this entire cast and this entire team to go with my idea of comedy in the fighting, comedy in the action. If they trust me with that, and I trust them to make me look good, that we could make a hit, and they did, Drunken Master. And then years later, he tried to do it again. He tried to give the trust in somebody else, and he couldn't do it. And then the last 20 minutes, he was like, screw it, I'm Jackie Chan, I'm going to do this. And it's one of the best fights ever put on cinema, and maybe the best fight ever put on cinema. And in two movies, you see him at his top, and right when he was about to... It's just two pinpoints in... an iceberg of a career for this. So yeah, I loved the Drunken Master.
You're very articulate when you're drunk.
I think I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking to you. I was, let me try to button myself up, pick myself up. Yeah, any coffee?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll get it.
Ooh,
finish your thought.
Brew it. I was gonna eat it raw, but you should brew it.
You can eat coffee raw.
Of course I wasn't. You're gonna brew it, right? Why would I do that?
Well, yeah, you think I never forgot.
Anyway,
one. I just
Drunken Master fighting is something that's real. It's been in the actual Kung Fu styles for some time. So the actual fighting that he wanted to portray, it's all real.
Yes, drunken boxing, also known as Zui Quan.
Thank you.
A name for the style of Chinese martial arts that imitate the movements of a drunk person. This is an ancient fighting style.
It's really interesting to see in the first movie when they have to drink to get the fighting going, but in the second movie when he has already learned the technique and he meets somebody and he, in the middle of a fight where his normal style is not working, he decides, I'm drunk, gonna fight. And you realize, no, yeah, it's a style that you can learn and you can perfect. And he has, and it's really disheartening when you hear that he wanted to showcase that, and the original director didn't. He wanted to showcase other fighting, and it's called Legend of Drunken Master. So I don't get it. But also, the series doesn't end there. After the first movie, the actor who played the guy who taught Jackie Chan would go on to portray that character in other movies, in other drunken movies, and teach other people. And he would put out a slew of other ones and then die the next year, because that's how Kung Fu movies were. It's in the 70s. They made like 18 a year. And he just, like, he's in a butt ton of them, and he made them in, like, the span of 9 months, because what else are they going to do? That's how you made money, baby. Baby.
I got you your coffee.
Thank you.
I had to pull them out of the trash.
I'm going to pull them out. I'm feeling much better already. Thank you.
Wow, you actually...
That's okay.
Okay, guys, anyway. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Drunken Master films. They really highlighted his editing process.
That worked?
In the early stuff, and also his sense of control and power and dedication and leadership in the later films, which, again, highlight the early 90s as his best period, which would then lead to Rumble in the Bronx, the film that would carry over him in 1996 to the U.S. and be a hit, so much so that even me at 10 years old knew about that
movie. Wow.
I watched Rumble in the Bronx on TV the next year when it was on HBO, but I remember the trailers when it came out. They're like, Jackie Chan, finally in America. I'm like, who's this guy? And I saw this stuff, and I was like, great. And when it was on HBO the next year, I tuned it. So, yeah, it was all prepped to get him to America after failing in 1985 with The Protector.
Well, also, the Real Butter Show on Twitter, we ran a poll for people's favorite Jackie Chan franchises.
It's a hard one.
So the Drunken Master series did win.
Oh, wow.
With 66.7%. Yeah, so that's the winner. And then Police Story series and Rush Hour trilogy were tied. Oh, and Shanghai Noon slash
right.
Nights got no voits at all.
No voits at all?
No.
Man.
No voits. And Drunken Master did much better than all the rest.
What's a butter got to do to get some votes? Some voits. Some John voits.
Yeah, come on.
Let's see. And also a tweeter called Jonathan Haley Tang dropped us a note to say that Drunken Master was the obvious choice, and that he was astounded the Police Story and Rush Hour even tied.
I said those exact things.
He says, I don't think I ever met anyone that liked Rush Hour. Chris Tucker has to be the most obnoxious person ever put in a movie.
Ooh, that's rough.
Ouch.
I think that's kind of unfair.
I have stuff to say about Rush Hour when we get
there. We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Anything else to add about Drunken Masters?
Honestly, no. It's a pretty tight series. He only really was involved with two of them, and the rest involved that actor and that director. Well, here's the thing. The director of that movie and Snake in the Eagle's Shadow, he would have a pretty prolific career in Hong Kong. He would go on to do, let's see, the choreography and what, Matrix, Kill Bill, the Grandmaster, It Man movies, directed an It Man movie. If you look up this guy, he is probably as big as Jackie Chan behind the scenes as anyone else. He's defined the look and feel and the aesthetic of almost, I'd say, 50% of what Hong Kong movies are. He's a big deal. Those three guys, Jackie Chan, him, and the writer, all would go on to, like, they were basically the Steven Spielberg and George Lucas of their era. Like, they all went on to define where everything would
be. Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty... Drunken Master was a huge hit, and it, like, launched a bunch of...
You're feeling better now, too?
Yeah, I am. Like, I'm feeling much better.
Like,
yeah.
how better?
I'm feeling a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You seem fine.
Well,
like,
The coffee grounds did great. Smearing butter all over us. That did...
Definitely.
That helped. Because I the way I was bending, I don't think I would have been able to walk out.
No, yeah, your leg was going the other way.
Wow, this is a really strong alcoculic drink. I was drinking this?
Yeah, let me
go. No, I want to finish it.
No.
Oh, okay. Man.
Well, we're gonna talk about the next
so
couple
good.
Movies. So stay tuned.
Hey, you over there.
Hey.
Yeah, come here.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, come here.
Over. Hey, you. Come here.
Yeah.
You like where you is?
Yeah.
You like where you at? You like this earth you're standing on?
You like to stand? You like to stand? I bet you do. I bet you like it real good.
Yeah, I bet you like this earth real good under your feet. All firm and standing. You like this dirt you can move and, like, dig holes in?
And if it wasn't there?
You want to kick it with the shoe?
If it wasn't there?
Yeah,
you'd be floating in space.
Yeah, you'd be floating in space.
In the endless void of space.
Yeah. Think about that. What would it be like if you didn't have any Earth?
It'd suck.
Yeah. Wouldn't have nothing to stand on.
I know where to be.
You need it, don't you?
You need that.
Come on, speak up.
Grass,
you need it, don't
trees,
you?
The dirt. You need it.
Admit it.
You have to get muddy.
Speak up.
Come on.
What
speak
up.
If we told you that for a constant, maybe monthly fee, you could stay. You could stick around on this dirt. You can keep on this Earth.
You can keep sitting down on the Earth if you pay up.
Sure.
Yeah,
we're not asking a lot. What you got? What you got in your pocket?
What you got in your pocket?
$10? $20? $3?
Here's a 20. Here's a 20. We'll do $20 a month. How about that?
$20 a month?
$20.
You can pay us some trinkets with
that kid. That's a good price.
It's sure. You got to need it.
$20 a month to stand on this planet. And if you don't,
We'll send you to space.
Earth is one of the elemental things to be here and be alive.
One of four.
You think we can't put you on a shuttle? We'll put you in a shuttle. We'll send you up to space.
I got a guy.
You got a guy?
I got a guy at NASA.
Got a guy with a shuttle?
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't coming back.
You'll be up there in no time. You'll be floating around.
Yeah, how'd you feel about no Earth and using space to no Earth?
With your dumb little paperclip. What you even got that for? Huh?
What are you, Jackie Chan?
You're not gonna look so good with no gravity.
Ooh, no gravity.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, like, you'd be like Sandra Bullock. You ain't no Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. So pay up or get sent out.
Into space.
Earth. 2-1.
Earth!
This is Poppy the Popcorn, social media manager for the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on, we have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming! 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
What?
The Real Buttercast. The Real Buttercast.
All right, so I watched Shanghai Noon and Shanghai Night.
You watched them both?
I watched them both, not back-to-back, night to night.
Okay,
nice. So there was like 12-hour difference between the two.
Okay, thematically correct.
Maybe a little less, but you know, I had time to process the first one, and then I had time to process the second one. But Poppy wanted to read the description for Shanghai.
Do you think? Okay, go for it.
Okay, so Shanghai Noon, a Chinese man travels to the Wild West to rescue a kidnapped princess. After teaming up with a train robber, the unlikely duo takes on a Chinese traitor and his corrupt boss.
Oh, that's really good.
Thank you.
I meant the way you said it. Yeah, it sounded really good.
Thank you.
Well, the movie was also very good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. There were so many things to talk about during this, but the main one, Owen Wilson, is in it.
Wow.
And Jackie Chan, of course. And I did not expect their chemistry that they would have in film, projected onto a movie screen.
Yeah.
And off, too. Because you saw some, like, behind-the-scenes, like, bloopers at the end of actually both of the movies. And they're adorable together. They're, like, bromancing hard.
It seems super hard to not be friends with them.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Even if he's a jerk, I feel like he'd be like, all right, let's shot it, all right, okay.
I don't know. You know, I tried to show him my script. I saw him on Hollywood Boulevard, and I was running up with the...
Oh, come on,
the Real Butter.
And he
the Real Butter
down?
Movie, and I was, you know, I was like trying to thrust it into his hands, and he was like, well, hey, man, just, you know, give me a little space, you know? And I was like, hey, dude,
wait, is he here right now? His own right here? Because it sounded exactly like him.
No, there's no one but me and my
you are
my
super good at that.
Wow.
Wow. Just give me a little space. Just give me a little space. So you thrusted a script in his face. He got really indignant, pushed you away. What happened next?
I didn't appreciate it, you know, and I kept walking after him down the street, sort of pursuing him at a kind of a fast walk.
Okay, maybe pursue seems like the right word there. Yeah,
I wasn't running or anything, and I was just, hey, you know, you'll really like this. It's really good. And he wasn't having it. He was like, hey, man, just back off, you know?
Is this Kermit or Owen?
It's the same guy.
He's like, it's not easy being
really
green, guy.
Out.
Come on.
It turned out to not be Owen Wilson.
An impersonator who also does Kermit.
So you just got a restraining order against some stranger. He put some
another one. Over. Yeah, after the whole David Duchovny thing. So.
Oh man, that's another one though. Did you get the thing that you get every time you get a restraining order as a trophy?
Yeah,
dude. He gets spoons from gas
spoons.
Stations. Yeah, of every state. Yeah, he's
like, how do you know?
Theo and I will talk sometimes. I can use the phone. I figured out how to use the phone. You can't let me go outside, but I figured out how to use the phone, and I have literally called absolutely no one but Theo. So I've used it.
Seems not true.
Sometimes people like to have an adult conversation.
What was that? Huh?
I like to have an adult conversation once in a while.
You,
and,
whatever.
You know, I don't want
Thank
to talk
you.
To Peter.
Yeah, you really just bring the child out.
You know what? Maybe it's just that I can sit down, listen to Theo's problems, and express
not
some...
Not bash your head in?
Well, not my head. I was kind of like biting my tongue most of the time. I'm saying, no, but Theo's great. I love Theo.
Yeah, everyone likes
Theo. Yeah, we have long, deep conversations about stuff that I can't bring up right now because it's personal. I would never bring it up now. It's personal. And certainly that I appreciate I remember, like, if I were to go into detail on it right now, and I could go into in specific detail. Like, I could really bring it home about how he's, like, you know, just like, but I won't. Because that would just be, like, rude. I mean, it's so ingrained in my brain right now that, like, I could just say everything that he said word for word.
But you won't.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
But you won't.
I won't. No, I won't. Of course. That would be a terrible thing to do as a friend. I listened so carefully. I paid attention so well. I made sure that everything was, I put everything out of my way. I believe I was just like in an empty room. All I could see was the words he spoke.
And they were?
His words. And only his. So don't try to get it out of me.
Yes.
Come on.
I think, can we just steer the conversation? I mean, Alex is, you know, he'll go
I know,
wherever
you don't want to hear about
him,
his butt warm creep.
What?
What? No, he doesn't have cream for his butt.
You have warts on your butt, man?
No, he doesn't. I said he didn't.
Listen.
Okay, I listened to some.
I'm listening.
We've been skipping over Jackie Chan's injuries.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So far, okay, because you mentioned Snake in the Eagle's Shadow from 1978.
And him getting
knocked out
arm.
A tooth.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Cut on the arm and a tooth knockout.
Let me see. Have we missed anything else so far? I think, okay, Drunken Master 1978, Broken Eyebrow Ridge.
Ooh, how do you, what?
Yeah, well,
how do you break your eyebrow ridge? Well, part of their style of fighting is that they actually allow each other to hit each other. They just have to trust that they aren't hitting each other that hard.
Right, they kind of lean into it.
And sometimes they lean into it.
Wow, that's such a weird part of your body to break.
They hit each other in the face a lot. They kick each other
but
in the face a lot.
Feeling my eyebrow ridge right now.
And the eyebrow ridge?
And that's, maybe he has a stronger
that's
one?
That's not your eyebrow ridge. That's your chin. Higher, too high. Go down. All
right. Oh, right
there. There you go. That's where your eyebrows are.
Under the eyebrows.
Yeah. He's been lifting how long and you've been letting him not know what? Theo, come on, man. That's a big deal. You need to know where your eyebrow ridges are.
So what's this?
It was sort of a fun thing. I would teach him the wrong names for things
Theo!
For a long time.
Oh, my
God. So that when he interacted with normal people, it would, you know,
That's incredibly embarrassing and a great prank. I love it.
You're horrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he'd be like, I love your new hats that you're wearing on your feet.
I mean,
They're not hats. But isn't a hat something you just put over something?
No. No, dear boy. No. No. No, young. No, my child. No.
Your child, hang on.
This is the words I use to calm people down, my son. This is
No. Peter's no one's child. He was adopted. So he was unwanted.
You're adopted? It's okay, my child.
I mean, was I unwanted if I was adopted?
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not, you're right.
It's not your fault.
It's not
your fault. Our father just wanted a surrogate to carry organs for him.
And also
don't we all?
But also to, you know, keep on the family business
of the theater.
Theater.
Yeah. And also for kidney.
I mean that too, but he never took
that. That's just smart thinking, Lincoln.
Yeah, you were just lucky that he had his accident before he got to him.
Wait, what? Was he in a Jackie Chan?
So his body is still frozen underneath the Theater Brothers Theater, as you know.
Wait, what? I did not know that. That is news to me.
Why are you telling him? Okay, let's not talk about
it. So there's a dead body underneath
He's not dead.
Wait,
dude,
there's a frozen body.
Okay, so you know like the freezer downstairs where we keep all the frozen pizza crusts and all the...
What? No!
Yeah. Behind that, there's another door. Are we not supposed to...
No. No.
There's another door back
there?
No,
there's not.
Oh, you mean the
he's
door
kidding,
back
man.
There?
He's
no, I've seen
again.
That door.
Well, he's kidding.
Again.
Like
he's
behind
kidding. The shell.
He's kidding.
Yeah.
He's kidding.
Okay.
He's
what's
kidding.
Behind it? Wait, your dad?
He's kidding. He's kidding.
I don't get it. I'm terrible.
How are you not feeling me pinching your arm? He's kidding.
Are you pinching my arm?
How are you not feeling that?
Oh, I didn't attach my arm.
What?
Oh, my arm is dislocated and it's still numb. I need to put butter on it.
Oh.
I didn't do anything yet. So your dad's downstairs, huh?
No.
Oh, wait.
No.
Hey.
You feel that, don't you?
Nope. Nope. Man, I forgot a lot of limbs.
Shanghai Noon was...
So, would you say the highlight of Shanghai Noon is, what, the characters, the humor?
I would say the unexpected chemistry between Owen and Jackie, for sure. But the comedy was great. I mean, everything had a punch to it, a little kick, a little slap, a little backflip. And it also helped that it was Jackie Chan. And, you know, if a joke, you know, wasn't really... happening, he would just say something like dumb or something, like, because he in the movie he didn't know English very well, so he would like say, okay, you're this person, or you're
they could take advantage of his
so he was like calling himself John Wayne because his Chinese name sounded like that, but it wasn't John Wayne. But Owen Wilson's character, what was his, like, Roy was calling him His name was like Shang Wang or something like that.
Oh,
but he was calling him John Wayne, and then he just called him that for the rest of the movie.
I gotcha. Kind of like when Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future goes around calling himself Clint.
Yes.
The Joker's using a famous cowboy.
It was really funny.
Hilarious. Well, I don't think I have ever seen
you. Why? What's wrong with you?
No, I just never got around to it. I like Owen Wilson. I think he's great. Makes you say wow.
You know
I
what's
like
funny?
What?
He never said wow in the movie, but Jackie did. Jackie went.
Well, wow. That's called subverting expectations. I believe Rian Johnson added that. That I do know. Yeah, even better. and I love Rian Johnson. I'm a big Rian Johnson fan, so I'm happy he did it.
They got the horse to sit down like a dog. Jackie was so adorable in the movie. He was like, sit, horsey. And horsey sat like a dog and waited for him.
So if there's anything I've learned from the non-Hong Kong movie is that he elevates everything.
And he's adorable. Anything I've learned,
he is adorable, yes. But the great thing about him being adorable is that if you look at behind-the-scenes stuff, he's a strict leader. He is like, I don't mess around.
No, he's an alpha.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the alpha.
Oh yeah, he's just got a slay. He's got a murder out there in Hong Kong. I gotta tell you.
Oh my god.
He's got that attitude.
Yeah, he does.
He's got that charisma.
Crazy. But the
very Hong Kong.
And I liked that. So this princess escaped from the Forbidden City is what it was called. She actually didn't want to go back. But they got some of their Imperial Guards to go and chase after her and the kidnapper. And when she got to America, Nevada.
Okay.
Or no, Jackie wound up in Nevada. It was somewhere, I think. I can't remember.
Jackie.
It was 12 hours ago. Mm. And and she got there and they were making railroad. She was like, oh, I'm not actually free. And the guy's like, yeah, no, you're done. And then they introduced another bad guy who was an escaped, like, Imperial Guard, ex-Imperial Guard, who was all bad and whatever. Mm. So... But she was really cool in the film because she wasn't really the damsel in distress. She was like, she was powerful and she could really fight. It didn't show much of it, but when it showed her fighting, she was actually using, you know, objects like Jackie would. And because, you know, it was clear that Jackie had influenced her, you know, fighting. He probably choreographing some of it and whatnot because he's very resourceful. Like he would grab an object and use it for something where you would not expect it as a weapon.
That's his trademark.
Yeah.
That's what he uses everything around.
Exactly. So she's kind of doing
that
too.
That reminds me, watching these movies, and then we had just seen, we did the Keanu episode, and we watched all the John Wick movies.
I was right about to say, yeah.
Yeah, there's such a similarity. It's like, it's in that tradition. You know, John Wick doesn't have the humor, but it does have that dedication to very realistic fighting and stunts, and then also that creativity of using every environment.
Exactly. I was thinking about that the whole time, but I actually like Jackie's methods better. I mean, of course, Keanu Ring Fu in the, but.
Well, there's a big heavy influence on Jackie of old classic. Watching people like Keith Kaplan take objects and create an entire gag around it would certainly happen later with his whole using ladders or poles or scaffolding.
Exactly.
And that was the same thing that Fred Astaire would do. Fred Astaire made an entire dance with paper. A piece of paper on the ground. He made an entire dance with salt and pepper. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
He just keeps tearing the paper with his feet and it's so entertaining. Jackie Chan applied that same method. His understanding of American cinema and applying it to Hong Kong methods really just, again, speaks to, he understands the framing very well of what the audience, of what they don't, of what they're going to understand down the line of your story and what they're not. What the balancing between his gags in some movies and the action does not work for me, whereas sometimes it does. And watching it in American movies is really interesting because you see, I think it works best in the Rush Hour movies, but having not seen the Shanghai Knights movies, but knowing Owen's style, it seems to me like it's, yeah, they were like, Owen Wilson, your thing, and then Jackie, we need some help with this fighting.
It meshed perfectly. Everything happened, and it was beautiful. And you mentioned Charlie Chaplin. He was actually in the second movie.
Really?
Yes, he was this...
Chucky Chaplin.
Sorry to spoil it, but he was...
Charlie...
I won't actually spoil who he is.
Charlie's in the figures.
It's a reveal. Yeah, it's hilarious.
And he's watching
John Wayne and, you know, or Chong Wong, Jackie Chan's character. And he's like, wow. And he's really studying him. And it's really funny. And at the end, it's like, I'm Charlie Chaplin. It's like,
oh my God.
Oh, wow.
I'm Chucky Chan. I'm here to also, make it off with my cane and my station hat.
He did. And they're also fun.
I played
the
little tramp. I was in a circus. I saw the city lights. I had a gold rush. There was a great dictator.
Exactly.
Oh.
And what's even better is that wasn't enough, clearly. So they also added that Owen Wilson's character Roy was undercover, and he was trying to figure out a name because they're like, "What's your name, Sean?" He's like, and he looked at a clock and like a couple other things, and he was like, "Sherlock Holmes." And then the guy he said that to at the end of the movie
that was pretty funny. That's a solid gag if you could just say it in a word. Sherlock Holmes.
Damn it. And the guy who said it to was like, "I'm gonna write a book, and I was gonna ask you if I could use that name."
Hey Chuck, it's your cousin Marvin. Marvin Berry.
Like that wasn't enough. So they had to add the original author of Sherlock Holmes in there. So yeah.
Hey Doyle, it's your cousin. It's Marvin Doyle. I got this name for you, new detective.
Sherlock Holmes.
He's just like dictating it to a guy out of the
Oh my gosh, it was hilarious.
He's gonna love this in 3 weeks when he gets this telegram.
Oh, but the second movie kind of had a damsel in distress, which I'm not really surprised, because I was really surprised when the damsel in distress in the first movie, Shanghai, wasn't really the damsel in distress. Like, she could hold her own. She was in prison. She got out, you know, kicked butt, actually saved Jackie, John Wayne, and Ron O'Brien, both of those characters. She saved that. So, but in this next one, it was John Wayne's sister. And the whole time, Owen's character is like flirting with her.
Okay.
And Jackie's like all uncomfortable. And then at the end, they like bromance up. He's like, "You know what? Date my sister." And then it worked out. But for a while there, like, you know, they're flirting and they're like driving in a car, and Jackie Chan is in the back seat, and he's like, and it got a little too uncomfortable for him. So he got up and walked and climbed over and sat in between them in the front seat. And he's like, "Sorry. Yeah, I just get really motion sick." It's so funny.
I just love the idea of a movie ending with Jackie being like, "You know what, bro? Date my sister."
That's how it is. Well, then Charles Chaplin and then Sherlock Holmes.
"Well, let me date your sister. I'm talking shit. I want to make a movie about that. It's going to be called Limelight."
Oh my God.
"About a triangle of love in London."
It just was like, why was that in there? Just as a joke? I mean, clearly, but I mean, that's I was dumb. Not expecting.
Well, the funny thing is seeing that still in movies like Bad Boys 2. Or another thing, just like with cop partners, one has a sister, the other one's like, "You're fine." I bet, don't they do that in Rush Hour 2? No, they don't. But like somebody, it happens a lot in cop stories where like one of them has like a sister or somebody, and it's like, dear.
But another thing, I might be biased with, because it takes place in 1880, you know, Wild West kind of thing.
Yes, you know those areas well.
I know those areas.
How was it? How truthful was it?
They covered a lot of tropes.
Okay.
So there was like the saloon.
So there were tropes in real life?
The Mexican standoff. I mean, of all the movies, I mean, there were so many things, but they made jokes out of them. And also in the saloon, they're in those movies.
Subverted expectations.
Right. There's Jackie Chan like just completely wrecking these guys. And it's not really like that. It's just a bar fight. You know, bottles are being thrown, but Jackie's like catching the bottles and throwing them back. And like, whoa! And yeah, so
He does that in Drunken Master. Nice. Catches bottles.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I realized with Brett Ratner, and it looks like with the director of the Shanghai movie, the same guy, or for student, they would take gags from Jackie. And Jackie's always been cool with that. He's like, "Oh, so you like my work?" They're like, "Yeah, I love when you did this." And he's like, "Well, if you want to do it, do it." But then there's like that video that we all saw that Osen sent us that highlights that American directors never really get the rhythm correct. That Jackie Chan's sense of rhythm of actually showing the hint and not cutting at the hit allows you to experience it. And it's true,
right.
Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, there's long pans of him just going and going.
Yeah, he likes to make sure that all of the information is within the frame, including the information you need for the next
cut. It's so perfect, so tightly wound. And
it's why I love the 90s film so much, because it's a guy who's been in the film business for obviously 30 years, growing to the point that he is a perfectionist.
Just on and off camera, because they had like little bloopers and stuff, like gag reels on and off camera, they got along so well. I shipped it so hard. The bromance was so hard.
It's interesting to me that Jackie does these two basically buddy cop movies.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that would...
They were like, cops at the end.
Well, outside of Karate Kid, I guess, what other big American movies? And I'm not really counting the Kung Fu Panda movies, just voice work. But like, he doesn't have that big of a mark on Americans as he should have. He's inspired, obviously, everyone.
Yeah.
Like watching Super Cop and seeing the influence on Tarantino, not just that he likes that movie, but like how much of an influence he has, how much all of his movies have, that like the beginning of Police Story influencing Bad Boys 2. Like, why is it Shanghai Nights and Rush Hour?
It's disappointing.
It is.
And I'm so glad I saw that. I it made me love him so much. He was so adorable.
He is so cute.
He's been, you know, you bring up a few good points there. He tried to break into the American market since maybe even the late 80s.
85, The Protector with 1985 is what led him to make Police Story.
Oh, okay.
The failure of that movie being his second American movie, he was like, screw it, I'm making my own cop movie. And he made the Police Story, yeah. I never saw The Protector, but that shocked me. I was like, all the way back in 85? And like, yeah, he's the partner of another cop. They're in New York, and they're trying to stop a killer. He protects.
He's a protector.
We're going to talk about that.
How they always, they try to team him up with a likable American star to kind of make it more palatable to the average film goer, I guess. But
yeah, they wouldn't get that.
You are right. Filmmakers all admire him, and all the other action stars are big fans and things like that.
He's almost like the
action star's action star.
He is as important and as a legendary, in my opinion, especially like he is. Once I saw Drunken Master, I was like, oh, I got it. He's a legend.
I mean, he inspired Charlie.
Yeah, it did. No.
Yeah. It's a full cycle. No.
Shanghai Nights isn't a documentary. You know that, right?
Well, I know that.
Yeah. They didn't make it then. That was a really Chuck E. Chat.
But in that universe, he inspired.
This isn't Star Wars.
It's meta.
This is Star Wars.
It's meta.
Based on a real story.
It was.
Well, I.
And so is Police Story.
Police Story is not based off a real
story. It says story in the title.
No, they say story in the title because Jackie Chan was such a famous star that whenever he put out a title of a movie, people would immediately copy it. So when he made Legend of Drunken Master, there was a butt ton of more drunken movies that came out of that style. So he made Police Story and titled it that so that people would know what they would get when they go see it.
Nice,
he made it as generic as possible so that people could not copy him.
Theo, you watched it.
Yeah, we'll be diving into Police Story in our next segment.
Absolutely.
But thanks for all that Shanghai info.
Loved it. Go watch it right now. Pause it. Go watch.
Also, Jackie had no injuries.
I don't know how to watch it. What do I watch it on?
He got whacked in the head a couple times, but it wasn't bad.
I got to watch it on something. What do I watch
it on? Just calm down.
Is this a mirror or a TV?
Just sit down.
It's a mirror.
How did you get up and over there so fast?
I'm feeling really good.
All right. We'll be right back
on the real Better Better Cast.
I'm coffee grounds.
Since the dawn of civilization, great minds such as Plato, Aristotle, Socrates have helped man to achieve his fullest potential. But now, from underneath a seat in the Theater Brothers Theater, comes Schmeckle. In a series of amazing lectures, Schmeckle will help you to live life more passionately, to become more financially independent, to achieve things you never thought you could achieve.
Oh, man, I'm having some trouble with my love life and my job, and also my parents want me to move out. Is there anything that Schmeckle could do for me?
Absolutely, stranger. Schmeckle can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get Schmeckle's series of lectures for only
$49.99. Wow! Oh, my gosh. That's beautiful, Schmeckle. I've never looked at myself in such a way before. I think I'm having a breakthrough. Thank you, Schmeckle. $49.95 seems like nothing compared to how I feel right now.
All it takes is for you to decide to make an investment in yourself. So pick up the phone, take control of your life, call now, and order the complete personal power Schmeckle system for only $59.95, and you'll receive our audio cassettes straight to your home.
They raised the price, and it's still worth it. I feel different. My name is Alex, and I'm here to say that we're back to the show, and that's all, folks.
Okay.
Oh, the rhyme. Yes, rhyme. Rhyming is what it does. That's rapping. Got it.
Jackie Chan.
We're back.
Jackie Chan. Did Jackie Chan ever rap in anything? I know he sings his theme songs to his films.
That's
the next segment. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, his rap career.
Oh, my gosh. Something tells me I'm really excited for the next segment.
Okay. Stay tuned.
But Theo watched some other movies from him, because he's got a lot of them. What'd you watch, Theo?
I watched the excellent Police Story series. Well, 1 through 4, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of other spinoffs and reboots of the reboots. So I'm going to stick to 1 through 4. So the first one's called Police Story. It came out in 1985. And it was written and directed by Jackie Chan.
Yes.
He was also the lead actor.
What? I believe it won Hong Kong's version of the Oscars for Best Picture.
That does not surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I highly recommend this film to anybody. It's a super tight cop movie. It just starts with a bang. There's like a police stakeout of a bunch of drug dealers in a village, sort of a ramshackle shack village, if you will, a shackle village built on the side of the hill. And the you know, the criminals find out they're onto them, and it just ends up in this crazy chase where cars are just smashing through shacks on their way down the hill. Jackie Chan has to run over a hill, run down it, and then jump onto the back of a bus.
What? With an umbrella. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he hooks the umbrella on the back of the bus, manages to swing himself into a window. He's getting shot at. He's getting attacked. And then somehow he brings the bus to an abrupt halt. Two of the guys he's fighting fly out of the top window of a two-story double-decker bus, land on the ground. Like, this is a full wide shot, so you see them falling from the top, whacking into the road.
They were supposed to fall into the car, but because of the kickback from the brakes, they hit the ground instead. You can see them, like, smack their heads into the ground. It's pretty bad. But it's awesome. Yeah. It looks great. But them driving their cars through the village is so spectacular that Michael Bay stole it for Bad Boys 2.
Oh, really?
And it looks way better in this still.
Hmm. Yeah. And so this is like a tight hour and a half. Just boom, boom, boom. You know, like, Jackie Chan's a cop. He basically annoys the wrong people, and they frame him for murder. And then he's on the run from the cops and the gangsters. It all leads to a giant finale in a mall.
Yep.
And
a bunch of glass
the fighting, the choreography. And also, you know, he's got comedy scenes interspersed.
Yeah.
But I would say it's much more serious in tone than like Drunken Master. But
yes,
the comedy stuff is hilarious.
It's pretty much back and forth between shtick and action. Cause like, there's a scene where he has to answer these phone calls in a room because he's like, he has to be demoted or like put aside because of his crazy actions. So he's trying to answer all these phone calls, but like, I don't think any of that stuff lands as well anymore. But he is like also trying to do this phone thing in like a Buster Keaton way. But then the one that really threw me off is he goes to see his girlfriend, but the brake in his car is broken. So he gets out of the car and he has to like hold it. And then he gets a phone call at a pay phone. And he's like, May, his girlfriend, hold the car while I go take this phone call. And he goes, he takes a phone call and then she lets go of the car. And she's like, you're not coming to dinner. And Mommy's like, are you holding the uh-oh? And then has to move her out of the way as the car breaks through a phone booth and then like hits a pole. And he's like, I've got to go get a tow truck later. Bye. And it's like, you've never mentioned you have a handbrake ever that's broken. It's just this one moment in this movie. He's like, here's some shtick with my girlfriend. And I think it works on its own, but I also think it's a little jarring. It's the second police amazing. Story that I actually think has more of like a serious tone, because half of that movie is about his problems with his girlfriend. I feel like.
Oh, the car. Indeed. I gotta take a phone call.
But like, serious, she's dumping him. In this movie, like, he doesn't treat her very well, but it's a shtick. It's a joke. She'll take him anyway, because he's the hero. But in the second movie, like, she's legit tired of him. And like, she's like, I'm gonna break up with him. And then like, I think hostages read a note. Like, there's some crazy stuff in these movies. In the first movie, he holds his inspector hostage in front of him, and like, he gets away with it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't. He's never going back. No. If he really did that, the stuff he does is towards the end. Yeah,
and then in the second one, like, God, what does he do? Henchmen read her breakup note to him out in front of both of them.
It's what?
Pretty hardcore.
While they're torturing him and throwing little poppers at him.
Yes, they're giant poppers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because later.
Yeah, okay. So they're very small explosives, but large poppers. So
yes.
One of which almost blinded him for real.
That's true. One of them almost blinded him. And then in the movie, he keeps using them against the guy who created them, a deaf, dumb karate master, apparently. He just keeps hitting him right in the crotch with them. Just like, bam, bam. And, like, his crotch is on fire. It's amazing. He's just like, bam, bam, bam. I'm like, awesome, Jackie. Thank you so much. The action in the second movie is great, but I don't think it's as up par with the first one. And also the side story, I don't think outside the action is as good as the first one. The first one's a classic, but the second one's pretty good. The third one, I think, is amazing.
I'd agree with that. Also, when I saw the second one, it was a really terrible dub.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the dubbing was ridiculous. They made the mob boss, he sounded exactly like Brando from The Godfather.
Yes! That sounds amazing!
I'm gonna get you. You know how to give.
Oh,
like it was absurd.
I watched. I was able to find a Chinese copy, so I just had English subtitles with it, so I got to hear him. I was enjoying dubs. Dubs in some of these movies was really fun because one of them.
Second one. There's a part where a bad guy looks at him and he goes, "You two are in the doo doo."
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna use that later in a real fight.
And also, because it's all dubbed, and it's dubbed in, like, with British voices.
Yep.
So, his name is Kevin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love it when they do that. When you're watching a Hong Kong movie and you're trying to tell the difference between the American Californian actors and the English actors, who are just like, hey, you know, we're trying to keep this to ourselves.
Yeah. But yeah, I think all of the cops are dubbed over by British actors, and I may be mistaken, but it seemed like all the mobsters were either American actors or they were British dudes doing New York accents.
Yes!
You know, like, hey, we're gonna get you, you know? Oh,
boy, I watched
you better not one. Come around anymore, Kevin.
Someone get my Goodfellas DVD, I got a rehearsal tomorrow.
Oh my gosh!
What's about a time in America, anybody?
Hey, forget about it.
You forget about it. What are we talking about?
I don't know. Forgot about it.
Anyway, that is authentic impressions right there.
That was my impression of a British person doing
an Italian
New Yorker accent.
Oh, that was my Italian New Yorker accent. I forgot about
it. Yeah, that's good.
You're a dude playing a dude playing another dude.
The skies doesn't look the time.
Sounds like my last Friday night. You know what I'm talking about?
Sounds like I'm drinking again.
No, I forgot about it.
I was going to do the joke, but I forgot about it. Seriously, I'm going to back.
Okay.
So then we get Police Story Part 3, which is also known as Super Cop. So in America, it's called Super Cop, all one word. I guess in China, it's called Police Story 3, semicolon, Super Space Cop. So just to differentiate. But in any case, that's much more of a, like, it's, they don't even try to make it a realistic police story, as it were.
The first
and
words,
that's totally fine.
Aren't the almost the first words in the movie, we need a super cop?
Yes.
I do think that as, even though this movie is the least, none of them are realistic, but they don't even, like, they don't have qualms. They're just like, we need a super cop, and so they just grab a cop and throw him in the mess of this. But I do think it's the most, I think it's the best pace out of them all. I think it's the most focused and forward-thinking of its story. And then the action is spectacular. Once they get to the shootout with the mob bosses, that looks like a Tarantino scene. Like, I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like, I want to watch more from this director, period, just because I'm like, obviously he's had a massive influence on Tarantino.
I could do that. Yeah, like with the big brother mob boss playing the video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And sort of that twisted way where he's like a little kid and then he's having people executed in the pool.
Oh God. The fact that he's like, hey guys, you guys are cool. I'm going to take you on this little mob boss meeting. And then he goes there and he's like, I've strapped your sister with a bunch of explosives. None of you are going to mess with me. My wife's in jail and I want her now. And he just murders everyone.
Oh my God.
Like, I was like, oh my God, this guy's psychotic. Like, they befriended a psychopath.
Oh,
it goes from 0 to 60 that fast. And I'm like, oh yeah, every time I watch a Tarantino movie where it deviates to like a Mexican standoff, this reminds me of that. Holy. And then things like the entire compound gets burned to the ground.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. Like, things escalate so fast in both that scene and the end scene. The last 15 minutes of Super Cop are, they're a gift. They are a gift to action cinema. I can't believe I've never seen this movie.
And the helicopter and the, yeah.
Oh my Whoa. God. The fact that it goes from him flying from a helicopter on a train, and then Michelle Yeoh actually drives a motorcycle onto a train.
What?
Like, they had her drive a motorcycle on a train, and then when she would fall off, they'd have like a massive thing of foam pit, and it's just like, you did this stuff.
Oh my gosh.
All of you did this. This is ridiculous. And then the villain, the way the villain dies, absolutely. He gets crushed by a helicopter. It's amazing. Super Cop was amazing.
And in real life, Jackie Chan's shoulder was crushed by a helicopter.
That's right.
In that movie. On the train, it just sort of smashed into him. Yeah. In the credits, you can see him just sort of dangling off and they're trying to get him down.
Yeah, he doesn't look good.
Yes, but you mentioned Michelle Yeoh,
yep.
Who is pretty much Jackie's equal in the narrative, but also in terms of martial arts and action.
Absolutely.
And this kind of helped to make her a star as well. I guess the spinoff here is that she is the main character in a movie called Super Cop 2, where Jackie Chan just has a very small part.
Yeah, Jackie Chan shows up in that in drag as a cameo.
And then that she gets to have that movie.
Well, she was an actress beforehand. She had done work. She retired. And they got her out of this because she was married to one of the producers. And she was amazing. She was in this. And then she would go on to be in Bond movies and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And she's, again, like, she's got a massive career now. She is an equal of Jackie Chan, for sure. And Jet Li. Yeah, I think they all three were in Hero together.
Right.
Right.
Right, yes, sorry. And then...
So then we get First Strike.
There's also, I guess there's, after this, there's a movie, okay, so Super Cops 1992, there is a movie called Crime Story in 93, which is, it has Jackie Chan in the main part. It's not a comedy at all, it's just a straight, like, crime police story, I guess.
It has less humor, yeah.
They loosely put it in the Police Story lineup, but then Super Cop is what, wait, no, then there's, sorry, Super Cop, then there's First Strike.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. Here's what kind of happens. Supercop is the last real police story one where they use that detective earnestly. May's there. His boss is there, and he's using the name. Then Supercop, after that, the one with Michelle Yeoh, the spinoff, he shows up as that character. That's the last real time he shows up as that. That's really the last one, because First Strike was never supposed to be one. And if you watch First Strike, they're not calling him Kevin or his last name. They keep calling him Jackie. It's just that they happen to have the guy who plays his boss play his boss in that movie, too. And in First Strike, he's straight away, like, you're at his work. You see no personal life of him in that movie. He is. First Strike is a Bond movie. It's 110% a Bond movie. Like, there's no two ways around it. There's no personal life. He's on a mission, and that's it. And they didn't want it to be that, but they put it on there that way to make money. And then he did New Police Story, which is has nothing to do with him at all. It's just more drama, different name. He's in it, but they just put it by name only. And then 2013, he did another police story with, again, another detective's name. So the last one is really Supercop, earnestly.
I can see that. I mean, I think First Strike, maybe in China, his character has the same name. And then the American version, he's called Jackie because they were really trying to sell Jackie Chan to the American audiences.
No, they call him Jackie. They call him Jackie in the movie. They for sure call him Jackie in the movie.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I saw one credit where it says Jackie Chan as Jackie, and it says slash Kevin Chan Ku Kai or Ka Kui. I'm not even going to try with the Chinese, but I think he may be playing the same character, but it doesn't matter, is kind of the idea. Like you say, his girlfriend's not in it. She was a major part of the first three, and he's just basically on a mission having fun.
Yes.
Being sort of a goofy James Bond. Like, yeah. There's sharks, there's skiing, there's explosions, helicopters, and yep. It's great.
Yeah, fighting underwater.
What?
Yeah, like sounds Thunderball. So cool.
Oh, he does, dude. He fights in a shark tank. He's, like, flipping people over and kicking them. It's amazing.
Stealing their air because he doesn't have a tank.
He stole their air?
Yep, stealing everybody's air. I would say, yeah, there's a fun bit in when he's fighting a guy underwater and there's sharks everywhere that he cuts his thumb so he has to keep his thumb in his mouth so that blood doesn't happen. So he does that to the guy he's fighting on both of his thumbs. So he can't use his hands because he's got to keep them in his mouth.
Oh my gosh, it's so smart.
It's a really good move. The thing about First Strike that first of all, it has the ladder fight, which is amazing. The ladder fight is classic Jackie Chan. It's like people go back to that. It's so
yeah, that creative. That was in the Shanghai Noon.
They did a ladder fight in there?
Yeah, there was a ladder. It was in the... Huh. No, it was Shanghai Nights. It was the second one. They had a ladder in some room, and he was beating up a bunch of British policemen.
Hmm. Well, that's the thing. They like to steal his bits. Or they borrow him, as he's probably okay with it, as he's the one doing it.
Right.
The thing about First Strike for me is that, yeah, they only call him Jackie. They never call him any last name. All promotional and credits and titles, even in the film, he's got the name of the character from Police Story. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't care. The May stuff is the weakest part of the Police Story stuff. And if you take her out entirely, it kind of doesn't feel like one, which is weird. But I thought it was an okay movie. In fact, I thought it was so okay. Here's how I watched it. I didn't want to rent it. So I watched a Spanish dub, and then I just read the Wikipedia plot as I watched the movie. And to be honest, it was perfect. I didn't need to know anything. Like, every time there was a talking scene, I'm like, I got it. I know where they're going. And then it cuts to the action, and I'm like, great, I've got the plot. And it's because, like...
Well, I think that shows you another connection to silent film.
Yes.
And to Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, because this is almost a movie where the words are irrelevant, and it's all just about the images and his comedy and his action are so well set up and visual that you know exactly what's going on all the time.
Yeah, it's simplicity to a T, and it worked. Like, I still had a good time watching it, and I still like related to his character. But at the same time, I was like, oh well, you know, this is just standard Jackie to me. It doesn't need to be a police story. Like, now that I watch the police stories in a row, like, the third one is my favorite for sure. The first one is a classic, and the second one really kind of defines what that world was. But those are just 80s movies now. And to like, I think it made sense in his mind. Like, I make different movies now. And those are just so 80s, 90s movies that you can't. Because, like, there's a lot of Rambo in Supercop, I think. I just feel like that era of action movie was done. And he wanted to leave it behind, but just still kept using the name for whatever reason.
Weird.
Yeah, maybe it has a following in China or something. But I was going to recommend a Jackie Chan movie to someone who had never seen one and who just sort of, like, is used to general movies, I would probably recommend First Strike because it is just so much fun, and it's, you know, It is almost like a James Bond movie plus comedy. That, like PETA, for instance.
That's an interesting question. If I, out of a lot of the four movies, and I had someone who had never seen a Jackie Chan movie before, and I was like, this is Jackie Chan, I would pick the first one. If I was talking to someone who loves action movies and has watched a lot but has never really spent the time with the best Jackie Chans, like apparently myself this past week, I would say Super Cop 110%. If you like Bond movies, yeah, I'd say watch First Strike because the action scenes are great, but the story is so simplistic and bare bones that, like, it's a hangover movie, in my opinion. You could wake up and not really think about it, kind of zone in and out, and then those action scenes come and you're like, great. But for who Jackie Chan is, I think the first one. The scenes are amazing, and the shtick is very well done, regardless of whether I loved it or not. Like, the phone stuff is perfect. The car stuff is really fun to just see, because he's really destroying phone booths and stuff. And that, to me, is who... Like watching all these movies, he it's about eras. What was he doing in this era? What was he doing in that? And again, it's an iceberg. There's so much we haven't seen of his that we don't know about. But, like, I think, like, I like Super Cop more, but I think the first one is, like, this was Jackie Chan. He was done with...
Absolutely. No, the first Super Cop is probably my personal favorite. I tend to like the grittier, you know, tight little movie like that with kind of jaw-dropping action stuff. And it's written and directed by him, so if you want to know exactly what he was doing and what he would do with full control of a movie, that's what you want to see.
Yeah, I think it's a good in-between of both, because you get the grittiness of his earlier films and you get the excitement of the later ones, because, like, isn't there a moment in the gun shootout at the beginning where a cop pees himself?
I can't recall, but I hope there is.
Yeah, there's a shootout at the beginning, which genuinely looks like a good shootout. And then this cop, he turns around and he shoots a mirror because he's freaked out. He's like, oh, and he shoots the mirror and he's like even more freaked out. And then another guy comes up and he sees him and he shoots him. The other guy's like, oh, and he shoots him. And then once he's killed him, he pees himself. He's like, oh, I killed a guy. And then Jackie Chan comes up and, like, smacks him. He's like, get some sight. It's a gunfight. Do what you gotta do. Come on. What are you doing? And then he drives the car through an entire village of people.
Oh, my God. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, my God, Peter. You have to see it.
Dude, I'm watching it right
so
now.
So this movie...
You need to watch Police Story and Super Cop 100.
I'm watching it right
First
now.
Strike... What was I saying?
First Strike?
So Super Cop and First Strike were both directed by Stanley Tong.
Yes.
Who also would direct Jackie Chan in his kind of big American breakout, Rumble in the Bronx.
Heck yeah.
In 1995. But we'll talk about that right after this important message from our sponsor.
Treat yourself. Love yourself. Be yourself. Do yourself a favor. Get some stuff. Fill them with books. Read those books. Tummy hair. Then go out. See some friends. Then go out. This summer. Watch some stuff. Watch some stuff. It's time to watch some stuff. Watch some stuff. You got a movie, good commercial, YouTube videos, or so. I'll show you everything I got. We'll watch it all on Vevo. Just watch some stuff. Meet your friends. Meet your family. There's no end. Better watch Parks and Rec. Then go watch some friends. Cause you won't know. You won't know. You won't know what's next. Unless you watch it. Just watch it. Just watch it. Watch that stuff. Watch that stuff. Watch that thing. Watch it. Watch your friend. Watch your window. Watch your neighbors. Do a thing. You'll solve a murder just like your window. Then watch your window. Then watch more Hitchcock. Then go to the store. Cause you need food. Don't forget to eat some food. Get some stuff, some water, get some air.
What?
Then watch some more Netflix. Some Hulu. Some streaming. Some Disney Plus. Oops, I don't have the password for that. Or did I pay? I better check my bills. Oh. I did. Try to watch Bambi's mother die. Pluto's next. Then Dumbo. Donald Duck. Yo, go. Daisy Duke in her underwear. No, those shorts. Oh, I don't care. Crazy Duke's still jumping cars. Does so fast they need to go far. They take moonshine out the door. Then I'm watching oh some more. My eyes, they hurt. But I gotta keep going. I get some lubricant for them. Oh, shoot. They're better now. I'm blinking again. Oh, I'm getting kicked out. Damn.
So, it's my understanding that Theo watched Rush Hour, he told me, and he couldn't
get past... Yes, I did, unfortunately.
You said you couldn't get past the first one.
I mean, it's so dated, so 90s, so... It's offensive. It's an offensive movie.
You know what the funny thing is I watched all of them, and I would say that is certainly the case with the third one. I found the third one to be downright offensive. Like,
is that where they go to France?
That is where they go to France, yeah.
I have not seen it, so tell me in detail what is offensive.
All right. I'll give you a prime example. First opening scene.
Okay, I'm set
up. Chris Tucker is directing traffic, not unlike Jackie Chan directing traffic in Police Story 2. He is listening to Prince, not Michael Jackson, because by that point Michael Jackson was Bad News Bears, despite that being something that shows up in all of the movies. And he is listening to Prince, and he's dancing to it, and it causes accidents. And he walks up to a car with two women, and one of the women is very attractive, and one of the women is very big, and he starts arresting them and hitting on the hot one, and immediately calling the other one fat. Like, right off the bat. Just right off the bat, fat jokes.
Yeesh.
Then it keeps going straight...
What year was this?
This was 2007.
What a year.
Every time. The fact that you've been there is so amazing to me. Another scene, they are interrogating a French assassin with the help of a nun who can translate for him. And so the assassin starts spitting some venom at him. And they're like, what did he say to the nun? And the nun's like, oh, he said the N-word. And I'm like, come on, guys. What are we doing here? What? You really don't have to do this. And then it just keeps getting worse and worse. Like the young girl from the first movie shows up because the dad shows up and he's been hurt somehow, so she's there to show up, and she's like 16, something like that. Okay. And like the first thing Chris Tucker's like, yeah, all grown up, yeah, all grown up. And I'm like, come on, guys.
He's hugging her and stuff?
Yeah, like he doesn't flirt with her the whole movie or anything like that. Like the whole point is that she's a grown-up girl, but like they are pointing it out that she's like, yeah, I'm not a fan of it. It's worse. It's worse. Brett Ratner, I'm not a fan. Most notably, in the middle of the Tower Heist marketing, came out and was like, no, rehearsals are for F-words. Oh. And I was like, oh, I don't like Brett Ratner. Like, the bits he kept stealing.
Rehearsals? Why?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
it's a rehearsal.
I mean, here's the thing about Brett Ratner with these movies. I think he's good at, like, probably staging. I gotta say, all three Rush Hour climaxes at the ends, all their third acts, really great. They're all great and they're all solid, but they're all driven by Jackie Chan action and Chris Tucker's quips. And I think by the second one, Brett Ratner was like, okay, Jackie has this and Chris Tucker has this. I just have to make sure everything looks good and everyone else is doing their thing. Like, he's not really directing scenes. It's mostly just like Chris Tucker jokes. Jackie Chan is on a police mission and he acts like it's any other Jackie Chan movie. So by the time the third one came around, it had been a few years. The second one was like right after the first one, so they had that rhythm down. But by the third one, they just, you know, Chris Tucker hadn't made a movie since Silver Linings Playbook. He pretty much stopped acting altogether. Brett Ratner was like becoming Bryan Singer, where like his flaws were becoming evident to everyone else. And like you see this movie, it's like, yeah, Brett Ratner is a 90s director making 90s, 80s type stuff, and none of it is dated well. The homophobia in all of the movies is terrible. The racism in the first movie, I think, is apparent, but in the second movie I think it's more fun watching Chris Tucker be in China and not fitting in there. But the other thing about the second one is that in the first one they're contentious because they don't like each other till the end. In the third one they are contentious because they have had a falling out. In the second one they're having a great time, they're friends, one is on a mission, the other one thinks they're on their vacation. The conflict is that Chris Tucker wants to hang out with his friend and his friend keeps working. So there's something nice there from the very beginning.
A push and pull.
Yeah, they're like, it's not a straight up, we hate each other and we need to fix each other like it's Ant-Man 2 or something. It's more along the lines of like, we have a problem, but we're still having a good time. And I like that energy within the second one. But I think the first, and I like the end of that one too. I think it's pretty interesting too. Zing Ziyi is a lot of fun too. But I do see what you're saying, what other people saying about Chris Tucker, but I'm a Chris Tucker fan. I love Friday. I love his work in like Jackie Brown and Silver Linings. Like where other people can see him as annoying, I for one think he's really smart. I think he is a star when I see Rush Hour, and he's just pumping on all cylinders in the second one. But yeah, they're not exceptional movies. The Jackie Chan movies I think are better. I think they're better than probably whatever chemistry he has with Owen Wilson that I've seen so far. They really work off well with each other. But I think it's just
They really do actually seem like they're getting along and they're riffing off each other.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was actually the case. I've heard that Jackie Chan really didn't get those movies. He didn't get what was so funny about them. And he was
that makes it even like
he's
funny.
Been very straight with saying he did it for the money.
Yes.
But regardless, I think that just shows what a good performer he is, that he can, even with that in mind, when you watch the movie, you don't know that. It does seem like they're actually becoming friends. And, you know, the little scene where they're dancing to the song War.
Yes.
And they're, you know, like, Yeah, I get you. It, you know.
Well, that's the last thing that they do in the third movie. They dance to war.
Okay, well, so it becomes like in the sequels, then it's a series of kind of callbacks and things like that, right?
By the third one, yeah, when they have the daughter and the guy come back from the first movie, yeah, it's not anything new. It's a lot about callbacks because it had been a few years. But like, I think that's very interesting too because in China they didn't start making their own syncing their audio with their films until Super Cop. By then they were filming their just stuff with whatever sound they had, and then they would dub it with different actors. Sometimes Jackie, sometimes not. Eventually, people wanted to hear Jackie's voice. But sometimes they would just use different actors. Especially in the early days, they could change Jackie's voice and therefore change his character easily. In this movie, Brett Ratner made the decision to not dub him. He made the decision to not have him speak Chinese throughout the whole movie. He said, I want you to speak English, which was, it makes you... As an American audience, look at this guy and be like, wow, look at this guy trying to struggle with English. Half the jokes are that. And you sort of lose respect for that decision from Ratner when you look at movies like Super Cop and Drunken Master and you're like, he's a genius. He's better than anyone in this room. And everyone is laughing because he can't say the sentence, I need to go to the bathroom correctly. And you're like, what are we doing here?
Yes.
What are we doing
Excellent
here?
Point, Alex.
But I do like them as cop movies. I do think they work. And that's why I like the second one. Because whether Jackie Chan understood what they were doing or laughing at, they do, Chris Tucker and him, they did by that point actually have a friendship. They did have a camaraderie going on. They had spent enough time together that him running and showing around Chris Tucker stuff in Hong Kong was something Chan was interested in. It gave him a chance to have more Asian actors in the film that he wanted to have in the movie. But that's why I like the second one a little bit more. I feel like everyone is on the same page a little bit about this cop movie and the dynamic between them. And that was, I think, bottled in the second one, discovered in the first one, squandered in the third one. But yeah, there is a sense of watching like these jokes constantly be about how this guy can't understand what we're saying. And you're like, he's better than all of you.
Yeah,
and so many things.
He's alpha.
Yeah, like you have a certifiable genius on screen with you, and you're kind of wasting him. But yeah. So like my problem, I like the actors. I like all the actors in the first one. They're just fine. Like the man who plays his employer,
yeah.
Is very sympathetic, and well, everyone's fine. It's just it's that invisible presence of Rat Bretner, and kind of like his whole, you know, like you can feel it that.
Toxic masculinity.
And Chris Tucker's a talented comedian. Jackie Chan's very talented in comedy and action, but they're sort of being forced to depend on jokes that play on their race and play on their ethnicities and that kind of thing. Whereas I don't think you would have that if you had two Caucasian actors playing those same roles. And I think because they make such an obvious thing out of that, it shows, I don't know, maybe how insensitive Mr. Rat Bretner is, or maybe just American culture in general in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's why I like the second one a lot more, because it's not set in America, mostly. And the first one, being in California and watching that, just basically Chris Tucker go around and be like, this is Compton, let me say Compton. And it's like, well, okay, we have one cartoon character showing another cartoon character around. But when I was watching it, I didn't want to watch these for this. But I had an opportunity to see all three of them in a row in a day. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. And I would just do work sometimes and go in and out as I was keeping a focus on. But when that first one happened and Chris Tucker is like genuinely joking on the phone or he's making some other line, like I'm listening to it and I'm watching it and I'm like, you know what? As much as I respect Jackie Chan's ability to do action in this film, which is, oh, here's this Asian actor doing whatever until he performs. And you're like, oh, it's this guy's really good at kung fu and just stunts and stuff. But then I was like, well, what does Chris Tucker bring to the table? And I honestly think his sense of comedy, his sense of timing, his improv is great. It's why Friday works so well. I honestly think Chris Tucker is as funny as Jackie Chan is. Well, I think his timing is as good as Jackie Chan's ability to excel with action. And that's what makes them a good pair. For what they do, they are very good at it. So whether Jackie Chan needs to know the joke, it doesn't matter. Chris Tucker knows where the joke is. And he's going to land it. And he's going to make it work. There's an outtake with him and... God, who's the guy who plays Ari on Entourage? Oh my God, I'm totally escaping. Oh my God, he's like famous. Did all those John Cusack movies. Anyway, he's the gay guy that they're
talking about. Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He plays a gay character in the second movie. And he's cracking up Chris Tucker because he's improvising as good as he is. And it makes you wonder, like, if the guy that they had do the action in this movie was as funny as Chris Tucker, Would it work? Would it be like Hitman's Bodyguard? Like, what, right. what are we looking at here? And there is the bad taste in the mouth is the racial and the racial stuff, sure. But there is something nice about watching adorable Jackie Chan just sit there and be like, Beach Boys, like Chris Tucker's like, oh, you gotta get out of here. Like, there's something kind of fun about that. But there's something lost by the third movie. You're kind of like, I'm done. And watching the second one, having watched the first one, is the only way to do it, I think, for now on. I don't really want to watch the first one again anymore. I think I'm kind of good with that. The second one, I think, is great. If I really want to, like, feel their friendship, then I'll watch it before the second one. But I like the second one. Like, Jackie Chan fights Don Cheadle because Don Cheadle was like, if I'm going to be in your movie, I'm fighting Jackie Chan. He's like, you don't want to be with Chris Tucker? He's like, I love Chris Tucker. I've worked with Chris Tucker. He's fine. But I want to fight Jackie Chan. I know Jackie Chan. I know his work. He was the only guy who walked on and was like, I want to work with him. And people were like, oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a fun movie with like Chris Tucker and Brett Ratner. And he's like, no, I want to work with Jackie. Like, he knew what was up. And there's a sense from Brett Ratner who, even though he respects him in that movie, is sort of like, well, the joke is you can't speak English. And I'm sure Jackie was kind of like, okay, that's it? And he's like, yeah. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's not it. Chris Tucker's super funny. Chris Tucker is making these jokes work past the fact that he can't speak English. Because by the second movie, they are friends. And they are like, they really enjoy each other's company. Mm-hmm. There's something nice in the third movie of him like trying to be friends again with with Jackie Chan. But in the second movie, they're friends. They have an understanding, cultural differences aside. That's why I like that one more than the other ones.
Jeremy Piven,
jeez. That would have...
Jeremy Piven!
Oh, I would have spent all time up in the projection booth just like walking back and forth, drawing on the walls, letting the voices talk to try and figure that one out.
That's scribbling on the walls?
It depends on what actor, I can't remember at the time.
But it's not... they're not named. It's just like drawings of...
Yeah, of the names. Yeah, Nicole Kidman. Like it's Egyptian, usually like I'll draw some hieroglyphs or whatever. And then a kid called? And a man. Yeah, hieroglyphs, yeah.
Yeah, you just draw that.
Yeah, like if I see Tom Cruise, I'll just, you know, have a really good-looking guy in a car driving really fast along, you know, comfortably, not too fast. He's cruising. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's how I forget and next remember time, them later.
There is a stack of paper up in the office.
Just I can't write on the walls anymore?
Just write on the paper.
Fine.
That way we can save them. It's okay.
I'm going to drink some more.
Oh, please don't. No, I'm taking it from you. No, he's drinking. Oh.
I'm going to beat you.
You got drunk that fast?
Oh, I got undrunk that fast.
It's true.
Logically, one would think it's appropriate at the time of dinner.
Well. We'll be right back in time for Alex to chew on some coffee grounds. Head straight, and we'll be back to wrap up the Jackie Chan story.
I'm sorry I was so persnickety, gentlemen.
Air. It's everywhere. You breathe it in, and you breathe it out.
Oh, I've been breathing so much better since I've tried this new air.
Little buddy. Oh. He passed out from air.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Better Better Cast. This is Theater here.
What are you doing?
Rep.
What's with the stupid voice?
Well, Peter, Peter's...
That was my radio voice.
Peter's going to be back soon, so Poppy, don't be so mean to Theo.
I can be mean to whoever I want, including you.
Just because you're doing a bunch of kung fu this week doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want.
Kung fu you right now, I'll kung fu you.
Yeah, I dare you, Poppy.
You double dog dare me?
Alright, well, if you're such a kung fu fan, why don't you try out the Jackie Chan film injury quiz?
The most famous Jackie Chan quiz ever.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. You wouldn't. You're not the biggest Jackie Chan injury fan quiz fan there is. Fan.
So for those people who've been listening to the whole show, you'll know the answer to this one. So let's see if you were paying attention. In Drunken Master 1978, Jackie broke this part of his skull. Peter did not know that this existed.
I'm going to guess the eyebrow bone.
I wasn't there for that. Yes,
that is correct.
Well, Poppy, that's what you get. You're too busy going around. No, Candy. Candy, no. Candy was too retired. Oh, wow, really?
See I'm this next, little Poppy? Dent in the can?
Yeah.
The little one?
Yeah.
That's going to be a scar.
Okay, that actually, it's a pretty big dent. Okay, it's not a big dent. I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, don't get dented.
Okay, I'm sorry. Here's money.
I need your money?
Because I'm afraid.
What's the next question? I'm so ready.
All right. Jackie has broken this part of his face four times while filming Young Master, Project A, Miracles, and Mr. Nice Guy.
I'm going to guess his note.
That is correct.
Well, you could have said something.
No, I couldn't have.
You were going to beat me up, and you didn't do that either. It sounds like you're a Tim Tommy. Oh, no.
Really? I'm going to jump off this stupid desk and take care of the fish.
Did you do it yet?
Ow.
Oh, Poppy, is that you on the ground?
Your face is so bouncy.
Yeah, it's made of flesh and bone.
Ow.
Oh, it's going to be hard to do a popcorn like you.
Little popcorn pack.
Do you want me to put some butter on it real quick?
Yeah.
Let me massage that back real quick. I'm just going to get it in there real deep. Massage it in there. Just get in real deep.
This is so weird.
This isn't even real massage.
Snake attack! Yeah!
Ow! Oh man! Ow! Get some more butter on your back there.
You can't! Stop! Don't touch me! I was using it!
I don't know what's creepier.
It's not creepy.
I don't know whether it's creepier that he's attacking you or that you're rubbing butter on him.
Well, let's just call it even and keep doing it. Alright. Next question.
Alright, well, let's go to the most severe of injuries.
Ruh-roh.
While filming Armor of God in 1986, Jackie jumped to a branch on a tree, but the branch broke, and he fell.
And hit every...
Fracturing his...
His arm! It's his arm! It's his arm! It's his arm! No, wait. His leg! His
Alex?
Left arm and
Alex?
Leg!
I'm gonna guess Alex? His ankle.
I was much more severe than that. In fact, he fractured his skull.
Oh!
And he caved... Yeah. He caved in the bone behind his left ear.
Oh!
Leading to bleeding in the brain.
Oh!
Yeah, he could have died. This was the closest that Jackie came to death.
Oh my gosh, wow. So we really should be doing what he's doing. We could find ourselves in really bad physical condition if we keep trying to do what he's doing.
Yeah, but
that's
we're
right.
Invincible.
No, Poppy, you're not invincible.
Invincible.
No, you're
Leave my lips.
What if I ate you right now?
Then I'd crawl out of your belly button like an alien.
Oh, I actually believe that you would do that too. Ah, adorable. Did you just hiss at me?
Yeah, I hissed at you.
Wow, that's new.
You scared?
That's
Are you new. Intimidated?
Nah, I'm thinking
because
it's cute.
Because this body is invincible.
You know what I'm going to be thinking about how invincible that body is?
This
later.
Is weird. Stop.
Okay, well, you don't ask me to think about it.
Yeah, but not like that.
Well, you don't know what I meant by that. There was a tone about it. Let me say it again and see if there's a tone about it. I'm thinking about that body later. You know what? There is a tone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's weird. Next question.
All right. Jackie dislocated his cheekbone while filming this film, the first of a series.
Police story?
I'm a cheat. It's police story.
Oh, wait a second. I misread it. I'm sorry.
Theo, everything is on the line here. My respect.
Will you be keeping count?
My honor. I also bet something important that's attached to my body. I won't say what it is. But there's a lot riding on this. Okay, I bet it's with the wrong person. That is very true. But come on, Theo, don't get me on this, man. Come on.
Okay, all right. Well, it's not the first part of a series. It's the third.
Third. Oh, so it's the third entry in this.
Correct.
Okay, so third entry in this series. How many series does he have that has three entries? I don't know. I'm going to say Police Story again.
And what is the title of Police Story 3?
Oh, no. We need a, what did it say at the beginning of the movie? We need a super priest. No, we need a super
cop.
Super cop.
Super cop. Super cop.
Super cop.
Super cop.
Super cop.
Super cop.
Super cop.
Super cop. I think that's Poppy for the...
In your face!
Poppy!
Okay, Poppy, you got it. You got it.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Kenny!
Yeah. Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Kenny!
No one can touch me!
Oh, Kenny! All Kenny wanted to be was a doctor.
He's a stupid can!
I know, but I think about Mr. Wong being a real person. I can think of that can being cool. Kenny!
I'm done, I'm bored. Bye!
Oh, you know what? I wonder what Poppy's going to be interested in next time. Oh, adorable.
Well.
Is there another question? Because I think I might win if he's not going to be
able to. No, there's no right question!
Oh,
I am listening!
Okay.
I am done! Game over!
All right, well, I have a question for you, Poppy, that has to do with injuries on Jackie.
How hard is this going to hurt?
No, you can do that later. If you get this right, Poppy, then I will not let you beat me up. If you get wrong, then you can't. Yeah, I don't think you understood what I meant by that. Okay, so...
So I beat you up?
Yes.
No. That's it?
No. If you get it right, you get to beat me up. If you don't get it right...
I get to beat you up.
You don't get to beat me up.
But it's still real.
I changed him, so that's what it is.
You can't tell me what to
do. I'm not, it's a bet. You have to decide
no
to do
bets.
It. I'm asking
There's
you.
No bets. I I'm the alpha!
Of what?
Of you!
True. But not right now. It doesn't have to be that case right now. In fact, Poppy, you get this right, and I'll let you do whatever you want to me anytime you want between the hours of 1 a.m. and 1 a.m.
But I already do that.
Oh. Then 2 a.m. and 2:01 a.m.
This is going to be a very long conversation because...
You do stuff to me at night. Because I know you do stuff in my... I've been faking sleep the whole time.
Doesn't affect me.
It affects me a lot. I actually have to internalize a lot. Pretending to be asleep and go through what he puts me through, it's a lot. But if you get this question right, you don't get to beat me up now. If you get it wrong, don't get to beat me up now. Who got hurt in Super Cop 2 so bad that they had to film their scenes from far away and from behind because they got hurt so bad? Poppy? Poppy?
It's you!
No, because I wasn't in Super Cop. It was made 2 years after I was born. Couldn't be in it. Couldn't carry a gun then. I tried. Auditioned. Wouldn't let me in. Of course you don't know, Poppy, as you shake your head like that. It doesn't matter. If you'd gotten it right, you still wouldn't beat me up anyway. It turns out that it was the girlfriend who played May. She got hurt so bad that she couldn't go back on set.
No one
and they
cares.
Had to shoot her stuff from really far
no
away.
No one cares. It's stupid. You see the stupid pumpkin?
No.
I'm gonna lift it up.
No. Oh no! Wait! Oh no! It's almost as if there's stuff in the can that got all over me in real life. Oh, it's all
wrong choice.
Oh gosh! Oh, canny! I'm gonna keep this can, and I'm gonna keep it as my best friend, and heal it, and bring it back to help a nurse. But what was that, canny?
Poppy is out of here.
You're so cool, man. If I could be like Poppy, I wouldn't have to have fake friends like Canny. Anyway, what's up with you, Peter?
You saw me the whole time?
Yeah, I saw you chilling out back and you did nothing the whole time.
I'm not good at quizzes. I don't want to be in the quiz.
But you didn't...
You put me in the quiz and I fail every time.
Yeah, but Poppy was saying...
I don't like quizzes.
He could have kicked your butt instead of mine.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wasn't there.
That's not fair to me.
Well, you didn't think about it, so...
Well, of course I was thinking about it the whole time. I didn't want to ask you because I knew you'd say no like a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I ask you to take my beatings, you say no like a coward.
Why would I?
Because I don't want to take them.
Yeah, neither do I.
Well, that doesn't matter when I don't want it to.
The quiz is over. Poppy said it was over, so it's over. And I don't have to do it. I don't got to do it.
I won anyway.
No, you
all
didn't.
All these just hours of preparation and that little popcorn just called it. Not fair.
It really did. It's so much time went into that quiz. That's so true. I'm so sorry, Thief.
I have like a little picture I illustrated. I drew a little picture of Jackie Chan. I made the arrows just where all the injuries were. And
a little diagram. Oh, man. I'm so sorry, Theo. We should have taken it more seriously. It's so bad of us.
Well, okay, look. But if you want to take it seriously, I want to say we do have one more comment from a Butterhead.
Butterhead, let's listen.
181. Okay, and he said, my introduction to Jackie Chan was actually his cartoon from the late 90s and early 2000s, Jackie Chan Adventures, which turned out to be a really complex and funny show.
Oh, wow.
It's definitely my favorite celebrity-driven cartoon for what's that? For what that's worth.
I don't know. O.J. Simpson's Mysteries was pretty good.
Jeez. Ooh.
that noise.
I watched the pilot episode of Jackie Chan Adventures, wherein Jackie, who's a sort of super archaeologist, is recruited by a top secret organization who has to,
of course,
sort of face off against shadow ninjas.
Wait, shadow ninjas? He takes his face off?
A magical medallion, and he has an uncle, and it's everything in one.
I was going to say, that all happened in one episode?
In one, it's like less than half an hour.
Wow, Jackie has a very rich life, it looks like.
Did he choreograph the whole episode?
I wish. He doesn't even do the voice.
Does he?
What?
What?
Wait. Why doesn't he even do his own voice?
I thought he did his own voice.
Nope. He does appear in the opening credits, sort of in live action, and then they cut back and forth between his cartoon self.
Just like the OJ ones.
What is this? What is that?
What?
You can't be serious, Alex.
No, I'm not serious. I'm sorry. Yeah, OJ Simpson made a show.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah, OJ Simpson Mysteries. He never solves a case. He's still on case one, who murdered his ex-wife, has not solved it, and has gone to golf instead, consistently for quite a long time.
What did OJ do? Coming after you.
Oh, it's just kids asking him, OJ, are you ever going to solve that? Get out of here.
Mr. Reed.
I've got things to golf. Do. No, it did not exist.
Let me put on my mystery gloves.
Oh, they don't fit. Next time.
Next time for what, when they fit?
Oh, Jay, we're in a real pickle.
I'm going to call my friend Johnny Cochran.
But yes, that is a lot of stuff to happen in one episode of a Jackie Chan pilot.
That's not even Jackie Chan.
It's not even Jackie Chan.
You can watch... anyway, good stuff. I guess that about wraps it up, since you guys are going to take the show seriously.
Oh, no, we just didn't take the quiz seriously. No, I mean, like, I would take the Jackie Chan show seriously. Our butterhead says that we should watch it, and I'm on a good Jackie Chan roll. I don't see why I shouldn't watch some kids learn from Jackie Chan, who's got to get a medallion.
I also watched a very serious recent movie called The Foreigner that's on Netflix with Jackie Chan.
The Foreigner was directed by Martin Campbell, right? The guy who made Casino Royale and GoldenEye?
That's correct, and not much else.
Yeah, not of those calibers, no, but that is why Pierce Brosnan is in The Foreigner.
Yeah, there's a lot of Northern Ireland political stuff in there. And
wow, I've never seen it. So what's his butt kicking like? What's he doing?
Well, he does kick some butt, although regrettably a lot of it's with guns towards the end and some bombs and things. And Jackie Chan's very serious. There's no comedy. There's not even a smile. He's basically playing a bereaved parent who wants to find out who killed his daughter, and it's that sort of thing. And
it's a little too serious.
You know, he's like ex-special forces, kind of like a standard 90s action movie background where it looks like, oh, he's just an old man, but oh, wait, he's covered in scars and he can, you know, he has talents for throwing things out and killing people.
So it seems like it's inspired by the whole Taken thing.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but then it's like 60% Pierce Brosnan doing political maneuvering in Northern Ireland.
What? So they took the bad aspects of the Bourne Identity movies and they put them into this?
Yeah, but, you know, and it's not that handheld, running around, exciting kind of camera work either. It's just very steady, boardrooms, people talking, making deals.
What?
Then Jackie Chan stuff's pretty grim. I actually don't understand why you would have Jackie Chan and have him look miserable and tired. Except, you're just wasting.
I think the only time that has ever worked in his benefit was, at least for me, because I haven't seen all of his stuff, was the Karate Kid remake that he did with Will Smith's kid.
Oh, he was excellent in that.
He's crying about the whole, when he breaks up the car. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's good. It's good. Then I think the most recent one that I've seen of his, like as of like production, was Yoga Kung Fu or Kung Fu Yoga.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yoga Kung Fu.
The half Chinese, Kung half Fu. Indian production. That basically turns out it's basically his national treasure. That's what it is. More.
Is it a Bollywood movie? Is there singing and dancing and whatnot?
There is only one. Okay, so.
What year was it?
A couple years ago. Like, I would say 2015, something like that. Not that long ago. It is not a Bollywood movie until the very end. There is a lot of Indian, they do shoot in India a lot, and there are Indian actors in there, but they don't decide to go full Bollywood until the end. And it's really funny because the whole point is there's a bad guy looking for the treasure, and then there's Jackie Chan and his group looking for the treasure, and the treasure would really belong to this town in India. If they found it, it would help them. So Jackie Chan finds it at the same time as the bad guy, but they basically kill all of his henchmen, and there's only the bad guy left, and then he's like, well, the people here know about it, so you have to give it to them. And then he's like, fine. And then they just all start dancing, all of them. Like, it's a Bollywood movie. They're just all cool with the fact that, you know, this guy was a pretty bad person. So that's the thing that I love about Bollywood, is that it doesn't matter whether you were the bad guy or not. Eventually, they all start dancing like it's the end of a show in theater. And they just, like, go for it. It's pretty
funny. Sounds like a good idea. Maybe we should all dance at the end of the show.
I agree.
You just hear shuffling and heavy breathing.
Yes.
One, two, three.
Are we ending the show like this?
Yes.
Okay. Watch this. You ready? Spin move.
Whoa. Am I supposed to catch you?
Yeah. Spin. Catch it.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, Peter. Oh, man.
Are you supposed to catch me, man?
I'm sorry. I was distracted by my own dancing.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. That is everything that's broken. I'm going to have to get some butter on him real quick, Theo. Is that okay? Okay, I'm going to put some butter here.
I'm leaving.
Some butter here. I'm using a Q-tip, so this might take a while. I'm putting butter here.
Good God. I have an idea for the next episode.
What is it?
I got it when I was spinning in the air.
What is it, Peter?
It's...
No thanks.
I don't like this reality version.
No babes.